You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I am joined today by my co-host, Ellen Davis. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Bill.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. This is going to be fun.
Well, here we are in Chicago, just a block off of the Magnificent Mile. A lot of good retail going on down there.
Man, you wouldn't know the industry was going through a transformation if you look at what's happening downstairs. It's busy.
It is fantastic. So we are very, very fortunate today to have with us Karen Norrington Reeves. She is the CEO of the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership. Karen, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Karen. How did you, where were you, where are you, and what are you doing?
Wow. So just to tie it all in, my very first job was in retail, which is the case for so many people across the country. And no, it wasn't at McDonald's. And I worked actually not far from here at a grocery store inside of a high-end condominium complex. So that's where I sort of started. In terms of where I was immediately before taking my position as the CEO of the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, I actually went through a series of challenges which made me better and stronger. And so I actually ran for public office and lost. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I became chief of staff to a local alderman. I ran for city council. And became chief of staff to a local city council member, and from there went to the state to run workforce development initiatives that were state-funded programs. And from there I was tapped to run programs for the county, the federally funded initiatives. And within that first year, both the Mayor Emanuel of the City of Chicago and the Cook County Board President said, you know, we need to streamline how we think about workforce development in this region, and decided to combine three disparate boards and asked me to oversee the new entity that would sort of lead the way for this region in new directions.
It's reassuring when government makes a decision to actually cut down on bureaucracy. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how it happened. It was quite funny. In Chicago, the fifth floor of the City Hall is also the fifth floor of the county building. And so they literally met in the middle of the hallway. And she said, you know, your schools are feeding my jails and your clinics are on the same street as my hospitals and they're not communicating. Let's figure this out. So they put together a committee to look at, explore 51 different areas of collaboration. They came back with recommendations in 19 and workforce was the first. And so here we are 5 years later, we spun off from the city and the county, started a nonprofit. We did that intentionally so that we could have access to private and philanthropic funds. To date, we've brought in more than $47 million in non-federal monies. So we're doing really well.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing. And congratulations. I mean,
I've
seen so many different cities and localities really try to take on this work. And I think you guys are just a pillar of how to do it the right way. And you've had some great successes in the short term. Can you talk a little bit about your vision for the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, the people you're trying to serve, how they're trying to serve them? One of the things that I've been struck by in my work at the NRF Foundation is a little bit of a disconnect and a lack of understanding from retailers about what a workforce board or a workforce partnership is, how it works, how they can leverage them, how they can find a pool of candidates that they might not have known about otherwise. So I know that's a really long question, but would love your thoughts on just how you work and how you work with industry.
Sure. So let me try and unpack that a bit. You know, that challenge of retailers getting connected to local boards is a problem across the country. And I think it's born of a number of reasons, but what we know broadly is that about 13% of the nation's businesses actually engage the local workforce board, which I think is a shame, because the way that I put it to employers is, these are your tax dollars that I am giving back to you through on-the-job training, through customized training, through doing that back office work for you by providing you with a talent pool that you can immediately tap into that is work ready and eager to come to work for you. And so when I put it that way, it really is compelling to them. And so what I think is one of the challenges is around marketing and really getting out there and being connected to the industry. One of the challenges I think has been in the past that workforce systems and workforce boards have seen themselves as an extension of social services. And that is not our model here. Our paradigm, and I've just pushed this from the beginning, is that we are the cornerstone of economic development. If you don't have people who are employed doing work that is satisfying, that is earning them a wage that allows them to support themselves and their families, you cannot grow and develop communities. You don't have income that is circulating within those communities, and you can't build neighborhoods, right? And so our focus is really about economic empowerment through workforce development, economic empowerment through employment. And I think employers understand that. We have to stop speaking social work speak and really speak to the language of supply and demand, because that's the bottom line. Employers have a need, and we have a responsibility to supply a talented pool of people who can meet that need.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those challenges with training and upskilling that you help to overcome for the people that are participating in your program?
So one of the things that I find most challenging about our work is that we are expected to be all things to all people for both of our customer sets. So we have employers as one set of customers, and we have job seekers as another. And not just job seekers, but current employees and prospective employees,
right,
as clients. And so we really are expected to meet people no matter where they fall along the spectrum of preparedness. So individuals who have significant barriers to employment, those with low literacy and low numeracy rates, those who may have never worked before, we've got to figure out how to craft a plan that allows them to be successful. By the same token, we serve people with PhDs. You know, part of our responsibility has been to shift the mindset around what it is that our system does and who we serve, because so often people think it's just sort of, you know, the cream of the crud. And the people we serve are anything but. We have placed PhDs, we have placed CFOs. So we are that catch-all system for anyone who finds themselves challenged and looking for opportunity.
It's so interesting when you talk about it that way, Karen. We had an NRF board meeting this summer where Secretary of Labor Acosta came to speak. And one of the big topics of conversation was, how, as a country, do we restore the dignity of work and the dignity of the first job? Where we talk a lot about both retail as a career and all of the different things you can do in the industry, whether you're an accountant or in data science, but also what some of those transferable skills are that you learn in that first job, especially in the service sector, right, that you can take everywhere. So I'm curious if you have thoughts on how either a workforce board or a local community can help restore the dignity of that first job, assuming that it's lost in some parts, and what role you guys play in making that happen.
It's so interesting. I want to leap out and kiss you for that.
It's everybody does that with Ellen. Everybody wants to kiss Ellen.
We talk about the value and the dignity of work regularly. It is actually one of the six tenets of the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, that we want to make sure that the individuals we serve understand and value work, and that also the employers that we're connecting them to recognize that there is value and dignity in work. We actually have done day-long workshops just around the value of work and the dignity of work. And for me, it's never clearer how important it is until someone loses their job. When you think about the depression that sinks in, you think about the ways in which people identify themselves through the work that they do, through the impact that they have, through not only the income that they're able to generate, but really, you know, what it means to get up every day and have some place to go where people depend on you and where you're accountable to others, and hopefully in most instances where you're doing something that amplifies your gift, right? And so we think that that is incredibly, incredibly important, and it really pervades all of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. What I love that phrase, amplify your gift.
Yep.
And also I think teach and instill the confidence that you know, hey, you've never done this before, or maybe you're doing something different, but you're continuing to develop and grow, and you've got an employer in most cases, especially in retail, who, yeah. in, you know, who can see that development, foster that development, continue to give you new responsibilities in a relatively short time frame where you might have not seen those possibilities for yourself.
Right. Absolutely. And again, going back to my own experience, I mean, I was 14 years old, about to turn 15. And, you know, a friend of mine was working at the local market and he said, hey, are you interested in a job? And I'm like, sure. And he had me come in and meet with his boss. I didn't know that it was going to take me on this 5-year journey where I worked there throughout high school. And then on my breaks in college, they would allow me to come back and work. And it wasn't just about, you know, being a cashier at this high-end store. It was really about the life lessons that I learned and about the relationships that I built, the confidence that I built in myself, the ability to engage with anyone from any walk of life, from, you know, the person with the least amount of money to multimillionaires, mm-hmm. To be able to have those interactions. Because the store had is a small family-owned store, as you know, many businesses in this country are small and medium-sized, and they employed probably about 10 people at that particular store, but they had multiple locations in high-rise buildings around the city. And so they would tell us, hey, we got a need at the Hancock building, which is around the corner here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Oprah Winfrey lived in the Hancock building. So Oprah would come into that. That was her grocery store, right? Lester Holt from NBC lived there as well. And so we would see these celebrities, and it was nothing to be able to have a conversation with them, right? Mm-hmm. And so to tie it all back in, it really is about the skills that you build and how those skills then really sort of pervade the rest of your life, but you don't, you know, you get to take it for granted because it wasn't like someone was sitting down with a textbook. These were just things that became muscle memory. Yeah.
Once you sold Oprah Winfrey milk, I have to believe that like the next customer is a total cakewalk, don't you think? I mean, really? There's so much confidence from that interaction.
You are so lucky to have me helping you.
Exactly.
Well, and the funny thing is there were lots more celebrities or high net worth individuals that we never knew were such because it wasn't an issue. It was simply about a transaction, but it also had some humanity, right? And so we didn't have to know that they were high-end, and they didn't have to know that we were high school kids trying to, you know, make our next buck to go out to the movies.
Right.
So you're familiar with the Retail Industry Skills and Education Program, Rise Up.
Yes.
Tell us, is it working for Chicago?
So far, so good. So we have really just started it very recently with a small pilot. And to date, 63% of the folks have been placed into employment and are doing well with respect to passing the exam. You know, so it's an entry level initiative. And then we also offer the other credentials that are available through the NRF. And so we're just getting started. The great thing for us is that we've got this retail sector center that we've launched. We've had numerous events there. It's really building momentum and visibility. And we are getting more and more employers on board. And it actually served as a support background, sort of a backbone for us for an initiative that we just launched with the Magnificent Mile Association, Choose Chicago, which is the tourism industry here, as well as the Illinois Restaurant Association and the Illinois Hotel and Lodgings Association. And so we are offering Rise Up through these major hiring events that we're doing. Our first event, we had more than 500 people show up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We had 50 employers. We had 1,200 interview spots.
Right.
It was fascinating. And we screen those folks through the Retail Sector Center, and we're able to say to them, listen, here are these offerings. Here's this Rise Up platform. We really think this is something that you need to try and use this as a launch pad to explore other career opportunities.
That's very cool. Congratulations to that. I mean, the program is so new that to see a group like yours that is a little farther along than we are, for sure, embrace this, not only work with employer partners, but also that can see the value in, you know, when you've got an industry-created training where not all you have to do, I'm not minimizing it, but where you get something that's a little bit more of a package, where
turnkey.
You guys could, right, where you can use it, but you can work with people to make sure that they're spending your energy on helping people become trained and find jobs versus figuring out what the skills are that they need to know and how to engage a lot of these groups. I just really commend you guys for the work that you're doing in this space. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I know it's hard to believe, but we're getting near on time. I could sit here for the next 2 hours and talk about this. It's such an important part of what retail offers so many people across this country and communities, large and small. But the work that you're doing to marry them, to put them together, to make sure that, you know, people that are looking for work can find work, and people that are looking to put people to work can find those people that are going to go to work and succeed. So thank you very, very much for telling us about that.
Thank you for having me.
So if I wanted to learn more about the Chicago Workforce Partnership, where would I go?
Workforceboard.org.
Okay. Now, there's one thing. We conclude every program with a segment called Rapid Fire. So we're going to ask you a series of questions, and you're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, my.
Yeah, get ready. Rapid Fire. Here we go. What's your favorite book of all time?
Harry Potter.
Oh, you are my favorite. So, do you you have apps on your phone?
I do.
What's your favorite?
Right now? Probably my bank app.
Pizza or burgers?
Pizza, all day.
What was the last thing you bought online?
Parking.
Oh, good.
Very good. That's very, I think that's the first time we've gotten that one. Well, again, Karen, thank you so much for joining us on Retail Gets Real. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And we're always on Google Play and Stitcher. Ellen, thank you for co-hosting today.
It's been fun.
Karen, we're going to have you back, I promise.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.